And we will be reading from Luke chapter 14. If you could turn there with me. And I'll be reading from verse 12. That's page 1264 in your pew Bible. So beginning with verse 12, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, we looked at these verses last Sunday, and what we're going to be looking at today are the following verses, but just a reminder that the story continues on. It's still in the house of the Pharisee. In verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Lord, we pause before we come to your word because, we want the Spirit of God to be working here this morning in our community and in the hearts and minds of all those gathered here in us, oh Lord. I pray that we will not leave this place without addressing what it is that you're saying in this parable. Because it's not just for our neighbor, it's for us, it's for each one of us. And I pray that we may respond and come into the kingdom of God. That we will hear your invitation and take it seriously and apply it personally. And so, Lord, I just pray that your word will become real to us this morning for your glory and for the salvation of all people. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we begin with our 9th parable. And are you ready for another one? Now, Jesus tells a story once again that is very familiar to I would say to just about everybody. I'm sure each one of us have had that experience of planning an event, planning a service, planning a meal, planning worship, whatever it may be, and it required a lot of our time, a lot of our energy, it required thoughtfulness. Sometimes it requires money, and last minute. It's always last minute. People call and say, oh, I can't make it. Sorry, I can't be there. Something came up. And again, I'm sure that all of us have been in that situation, and you will recall that when person after person starts calling you and saying these things, you get pretty discouraged. In fact, some people get really angry. They just say, oh, come on. Like, doesn't my time and my energy mean anything? And so we've been there, done that. We know what it's like. And the parable that Jesus is sharing with this crowd just reminds us of such an incident. A man decides to do a banquet, and the best of everything is allowed to be in this banquet. Only the best is offered. The best food, the best wine, or for some of you, the best grape juice or pop, I don't know. The best musicians, the best cutlery, the best decor. This is going to be the talk of the town. This is going to be a huge banquet, and great amounts of money are spent. And this feast was going to be like no other feast before. The person in charge wants to show such generosity before, or like never before. He just wants to give his guests everything that he has. He's being very, very generous. He's being very, very thoughtful about his guests as well. He puts his heart, he puts his soul into it. And this banquet has been on his mind for a long time. And before it was finished, he had sent out an invitation. They call it the first invitation. To people, privileged guests. And he told them, listen, I'm putting on a great feast. And I'm thinking about you. And I want you guys to be there. You're my friends. Come. I'll keep you posted, and I'll let you know when things are ready, for there still is much to do. But then Jesus says, when everything was finally ready, then the host sent out his messenger with the second invitation. Go and tell these folk to come now, because everything is ready. Make sure you tell them, don't bring anything. Just come as you are. Don't do anything. I've done it all for you. And so he makes it as easy as possible for people to come. Everything is ready. You don't have to contribute to it. Just come. But yet, according to the story that Jesus tells, something seems to go terribly wrong. Each of the invited guests tells the messenger, I can't come. Sorry, I just can't make it. It's not going to work. And of course, the servant has to go back to the master and tells the master the sad news. Sir, Eric and his family said that they can't come. John and his family, they're too busy. Peter is gone out, and he's not able to come, and some have just gotten married, and they can't come either, and on and on and on the list went, and I could just imagine that the servant must have been grieved telling the host, the master, all these things, and he says, sir, some of them sent you their deepest apologies, can't make it, can't come. Of course, Jesus says the host is visibly grieved. He looks at the food, he looks at the wine, the decorations, the musicians, the servants, all the work, all the love that went into this meal, and he says to himself, they're not coming? They're too busy? not able to be there? And then Jesus says, the host gets angry. Their refusal not to come is an insult to the host. And the master says to himself, you know, I can't let all of this go to waste. And so he calls his servants again. And he says, quickly, go out into the streets, into the alleys, and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Invite those who are hungry. Invite those who have nothing. Invite those who are broken. Invite those who have time. And for the third time, the servant goes out and invites people to come. And he goes out and he says, hey, you over there, you want to come to a banquet? And the poor man looks and he says, oh, surely you've got the wrong person. I can't afford a banquet. No, it's totally free. Come. But I've got no clothes to wear to this banquet that you're talking about. Doesn't matter. Come. It's all prepared. But the master doesn't know me. What's he going to do when I arrive? Don't worry about it. He wants you there. And over again, the servant is just calling on them, compelling them to come, the lame, the crippled. Many of them thought, but we're an embarrassment to many people. Surely, does he really want, like, it's going to look like a hospital, that banquet, with all of us crippled and blind and broken people. No, he says, just come. Come and you will be fed. Come and your thirst will be quenched. Come and you will be hungry no more. And so the servant goes out, does his job, and he invites all these people and he sits them down and he notices something. There's still a lot of room in this banquet. It's nowhere near filled. And so he goes and tells the master, Master, I've done what you've said, but there's still so much room, so much food. And so once again, the master says to the servant, go out again, but this time go further out in the highways and byways. You're going to meet a lot of strangers there, people who are traveling, people who had no idea about this banquet, people who are not part of our town. Go and invite them to come. And so the servant goes out a fourth time to invite more people. And he does it. Now, what kind of reaction do you think that the people listening to Jesus are going to have at that feast that he was just invited to? Remember, they invited him, but it was less hospitality and more hostility there. But Jesus is responding. Why did Jesus tell this parable? He's at the home of this Pharisee, and remember, he spoke to the host and he said, listen, I look around and there's no blind people, lame people here, crippled people. You know, next time you have a banquet, invite these people. And Jesus refers to them in this story. He says, but invite them and you'll be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. And that's when that man just blurts out, happy is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And it was that statement that prompted Jesus to tell this parable. Now, I've said this many times before about the parables, but the parables often address some kind of misunderstanding or presuppositions that people have about the kingdom of God, wrong ideas about the kingdom of God, and the parables are there to correct people's understanding. And so if we ask, okay, what might have been the false understanding here? And it seems to be this, that this individual who said this about the kingdom of God, sitting next to Jesus, had this idea that they, as a group, were guaranteed that they were going to be at this great feast that is the kingdom of God. They were sure that they were going to be there. And that's why he was able to say, blessed are those that are going to be there. And so they're just assuming that they've got a place guaranteed. And the reason that they feel this certainty is because they have had an invitation. They had, as Jewish people, they had an invitation from God written in the Old Testament. There it was. You are invited into the kingdom of God. And all of them were just so excited that they had this invitation. They were able to go and tell other people, we are the chosen people. We've got an invitation. God is inviting us to be part of this great feast. When the Messiah comes, we will be part of this great feast. We have the invitation. And they probably thought about this invitation and maybe even framed the invitation. And so Jesus tells this parable to educate them and to warn people that you need more than just an invitation. The invitation isn't enough. They are going to have to lay aside whatever they're doing, whatever they're involved in, and make a decision to go to the feast when they're invited. They have the invitation. Yes, they're special. Yes, you're a privileged person to have heard this. But unless you respond, the invitation is not going to be of much value. So clearly, what is this parable talking about in spiritual terms? I mean, this is speaking to us about God the Father from eternity past, planned this great event. And as I said, the banquet refers to the Messianic kingdom, where people are invited to come and to celebrate and enjoy the full and final salvation of God. And this invitation to this banquet, I mean, this banquet has come at a great expense to God. It's an expensive banquet. It's about the life of his own son, who had to die, be buried, and first be persecuted. But it was going to cost God something great in order for him to ransom humanity. Later on, we read in Peter, it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that they were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Christ isn't some cheap thing, some cheap person that is just, you know, thrown out there or offered. He's the unspeakable gift. It's going to cost God greatly to give his son. And in Christ, God is giving and showing forth his generosity to all people, showing forth his thoughtfulness to all people. Friends, God thought about you and I long before we ever thought about him. He was thinking about us. And so he's giving his guests the very best of what he has to offer. Everything else in comparison to his son is cheap, but giving his son, that costs God his heart. And as I said, the first invitation went to the Jews. It has a long history. Paul in Romans 1:16 talks about the gospel went out to the Jews first. They knew about the Messiah. They expected the Messiah would come one day and that there would be this great rejoicing and feasting after this great victory. But they also knew that when the Messiah came, you had to drop what you were doing. Okay, whatever it was that you were doing, you had to drop it, and you had to go meet him, and you had to go greet him, and you had to serve him and follow him and listen to him. This event was to be treated with the utmost urgency and with the utmost concern. It was the greatest event in history, let alone just the history of Israel. So they knew that. But Jesus is saying in this parable, when the time came for his people to come to Christ, to receive him, to follow him, to worship him, that it didn't happen. He came to his own, but his own received him not. They had the invitation, but they did not come when God invited them to come. Why? Then Jesus begins to tell us why. That they had excuses. They made up excuses. And the first thing that we note about these excuses, that in and of themselves, all these excuses are describing what? Lawful activities. Did you notice that? They're all lawful. Not awful, lawful. None of them are saying, sorry, I can't come. I planned a bank robbery on that day. Sorry, I can't come on that day because actually I'm going to see my mistress on that day. Or I'm on the way to kill somebody. These folk were not breaking any laws of the land. None of these excuses are about this great, you know, what we consider moral sins or breaking laws or anything like that. It's just, they're all legitimate, they're legal, lawful activities. So I can't go because I have to get my business up and running. Please have me excused. I can't go because, you know, I'm just in the middle of buying a house, or I can't go because I have to spend time with my wife or starting a family, you know, raising kids. Want to make sure they get a good head start in life. What Jesus is saying is that many of the excuses that that will keep people out of the kingdom of God and cause them to lose the opportunity to be saved will appear very common and reasonable to most people. It's a scary thought. There will be excuses that have nothing to do with major issues like, you know, there's a war going on and I have to defend my country or something like that. These are all about everyday pressures in life. They lose the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God, to be in the presence of God, not because of doing some great moral evil, but because they're just too busy doing what they thought were good things. Let that sink in deeply, friends. They did not seek the kingdom of God first. And Jesus, you know, also implies that in the making of these excuses, each one of them seems to have this thought that that the host will understand. The master will get it, not to worry. You know, he's a reasonable person. He'll understand that we're just too busy with life. Don't you get that sense? Tell him that we're sorry, but we're just busy. We're just busy with life, with business, with school, with marriage, with family, with relationships. Just tell him we're just too busy with those things. He'll understand. And you know what, as I talk to people on a regular basis, I always get that feeling that we all think God will understand that we're too busy to do his will, to obey his will, to do his, you know, to accept his invitation. I think there's just that thought that always goes through our minds. God will understand. You know what we learn from what Jesus has to say in this parable? He says, the master will not understand. God will not understand. He will not understand anybody who will say that they have something more urgent than the business of God, that they have something more important than listening and following his son, Jesus Christ. You know, every one of us have been given 24 hours. And God didn't give any one of us 24 hours so that we can squeeze him out of those 24 hours. Those 24 hours are a gift to God, and all of us have the same amount of time. Not one of us have more, not one of us have less. And if you've squeezed God out of those 24 hours, squeezed God out of your life, you are misusing the time God gave you. You are abusing the time that God gave you. If you're too busy and have no time for God, it's because we have all prioritized things in our life and made them more important than the things of God. Everybody can make time to obey God and to be in his presence. And the excuse that we're just too busy will not fly. You have time to feed your body? Look around those people who say they're too busy. Do you have time to feed your body? You've got time to feed your soul as well. You have time to read the paper, watch TV? You've got time to read God's word. You do. We have the time. The truth is, as Jesus pointed out in the parable about the seed that fell among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. That's what this is about. So the truth in the end is not that they can't come. It's really that they will not come. They will not come. They have no heart for the banquet. Jesus is not the precious pearl, not the hidden treasure. And for most people, they don't think that they're hungry. And anyways, they don't think much about the food that's being offered them. But no heart for Christ or God or his kingdom or his word. And that's why they don't come. And that's why the excuses are not valid. The excuses tell us that God's invitation is experienced as an inconvenience to all of these folk, an inconvenience to their schedules, to their plans, an inconvenience maybe to making money, an inconvenience to their business, whatever it may be. And so really, it's not just a busy period in our life. Really, what this is all about is an attitude in our life that we've adopted. We have made choices to always have prioritized things that have become really important and take up all our time, and we just squeeze God out. So what happens, according to this story? Well, the father makes the decision to invite a completely new group of people, a people nobody expected them to be invited. He just says to his servant, listen, if they won't come, pray for them, you know, be available for them, but go where the fish are biting. Go to those who want this. There are many who do. Go to them. Go to the people who are nobodies. Go to the people who are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. If those whom I have invited don't want to come, just go and invite. There's that open invitation again. And of course, in and through all this is go to complete strangers and invite them in. Go to the Gentiles. Invite them in. Go to those who have time. We have a missionary by the name of Toncho, and he's a missionary in the Philippines. And he lives in the slums with people. And whenever we get opportunities to talk to Toncho, he's just always sharing about how many people are coming to Christ. All the time. They have nothing. No food. No idea of, no security, no idea of what's going to happen tomorrow. And Toncho and his team come with the gospel, come with the love of Christ. And he said, people are just responding left, right, and center. And I told him, I said, you know, spiritually speaking, Toncho, the slums sound like paradise. Each one of those are responding to Christ. And we live in paradise and are busy with all of our wealth and busy with all of our activities and pursuing pleasure, and we reject Christ. We, in the eyes of God, live in the slums. And those living in the slums are responding to God, obeying God. They've got time for the Lord, time for his word, time for, you know, just for worshiping him, time for spending time with him. That's paradise. And Jesus, not just in this parable, another parable, is going to warn people about the dangers of riches, the love of money. Be careful. It can keep you out of the kingdom of God. Discern where you live. Discern the times. Discern the context. See the temptations for what they are. And I think we in the West need to hear this loud and clear. Let me just make some final applications, one of which I think is important for us, again, as believers in Christ. Do you hear the responsibility given to the church in these verses, given to the servants? 4 times they went out, or 3 times they went out. 1 other time God gave the invitation. But over and over and over again, people are to be invited. Do you know why they had to go invite those in the byways and or the lanes and the byways, the highways, and all these other places? Because they didn't know that there was a feast, a banquet. They didn't know that they were invited. They didn't know that the master of the banquet really wanted them there so that nobody would perish. They didn't know about this. And so the master says to his servants, go out nearby and then further and further away, go out and invite them and tell each of them that they are welcome to come. They have no idea that there's this banquet that's completely free. That no matter how poor they are in their lives, how spiritually poor they are, no matter how badly they've crippled their lives, no matter whether they can walk or not, no matter whether they can, they're totally blind, they are welcome to come. How will they come unless someone goes and tells them that they are welcome? And then, you know, there's this verse, compel them to come in. Boy, this verse has been so misused and abused throughout the history of the church. It's just sad that it actually opens the door for it. Persecute them if you have to. That's not, of course, what the master is saying, is compel them, is insist on it. These people will not easily accept or believe that they are a welcome people. Insist on it. If they say that they have sinned greatly and too often, insist on them coming. I speak to people who feel they've sinned so much and they just want to commit suicide and just tell, why do you want to get rid of your life? God really wants it, but it's garbage. Insist on it. He wants your life. He can do amazing things with it. Surrender to him. Give him your life. But I'm not a religious person. God doesn't want religious people. He wants real people. You're welcome. Come. But you have no idea the kinds of sins that I have committed. There is no sin that he will not forgive you. Come. All you have to do is come. Be willing to come. But sir, I must take some time to clean up first. No, you don't. Just come. Be willing to come to the feast. Be willing to trust in Jesus. Be willing to follow him. That's what you need to do. Just be willing to come. And so we are there to just tell people that the Father wants you to come. Jesus wants you to come. May the Spirit grant you the willingness to come. You know, there's something really, really beautiful here as well. That it says here that when the servant came back, he said that there's still room. Isn't that a beautiful word, beautiful thought? Remember what happened to Mary when, at Christmas, when she was about to give birth and looking for a place? What did it say? No room at the inn. And wow, here, you know, in this story, it's that there's so much room. There's still so much room. Everybody is welcome to come. God has planned this from eternity past. Be a day where he's going to honor his son for the salvation that he has brought to us. And the invitation is come and receive the Lord. Come into the presence of God. Enjoy him. And whatever we do, friends, do not be content simply with the invitation. Let me make this really, really clear to everybody here, okay? You are invited to a great banquet, to a feast. You're invited to spend the rest of your life in the presence of God. You are invited to have all your sins forgiven. Let nobody in this place think otherwise. You are invited. You are welcome. I give you this invitation in the name of Christ. I am his ambassador. I speak his word to you. You are invited. But now I need to ask you, don't be content with the invitation only. What are you going to do with it? You can walk out these doors, have this invitation, and really say no thanks. I just want each of you to remember one day in eternity, you will remember that you, each one of you, have been invited by the Son of God. You have been invited to receive forgiveness, to receive new life, to receive eternal life. And today, I challenge you, all of you, to respond. Come to Jesus. Draw near to him with your heart. Come to him. He's willing to accept you. He's willing to feed your soul. He's willing to quench your thirst. He's willing to clothe your nakedness. He's willing to call you friend. He's willing to have you as his son. He's willing to share his inheritance with you. You are invited. The gospel is free. Don't have to pay for it. Don't have to clean yourself up first. It's free. If you open your hands, open your hearts, and say, Lord Jesus, I accept, make me your child. I want to be your disciple. I want to be yours. Thank you for dying for me. I'm coming. I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm come. Just as I am. And Christ will receive you. I challenge you not to leave here tonight or this morning without making that decision. The invitation is not good enough. Father, as we quiet our hearts before you, you have made the gospel so simple. It's not rocket science. It is just so simple. You made us for yourself, but we have sinned against you, broken your heart, walked away. But you still loved us and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the God-man, to stand in our place, to take the punishment upon his shoulders, that our sin may go with him and his righteousness may go with us, that we may become a new people and live the rest of our lives loving God and loving our neighbor. So simple that even a child can understand. I thank you, Lord, for your invitation. I thank you for the amazing grace that is offered to each one of us. Spirit of God, only you can do this. Don't let anybody leave here without making that decision for you.